Welcome to the Shir and Targum, Parshas B'chukosai. Yesterday when we started off the Sedra, we started a little bit deeper into the Sedra. We spoke about the part of the Sedra that discusses the klalos, the terrible things, Rachmana Litzlan, that will befall the Jewish people if we don't walk in the way of Torah. Moving backwards a little bit, but hopefully from klalo to bracha, I wanted to take a look at some of the psukim in the beginning of the Sedra that outline all of the wonderful things that will befall Klal Yisrael if we engage in Torah and mitzvos, and to see some interesting comments that the Tagumim have with regard to those psukim. Just before we get started with that, I just wanted to share a very poignant comment from the Ibn Ezra. It's not an Ibn Ezra shir, we gave that a couple of years ago, but could be that here and there people don't remember everything we spoke about from the Ibn Ezra Shiurim. Could be we didn't even speak about this when we learned the Ibn Ezra. And it's always good, you know, it happens to me, it's a very, very beautiful Ibn Ezra. So the Ibn Ezra on Pasuk Yud Gimel, Perchava Pasuk Yud Gimel, the last Pasuk of the Brachos, right before the Torah begins to transition into all of the terrible klolos that are threatened if the Jewish people don't keep to the way of Torah mitzvahs, Ibn Ezra writes as follows: the reke moach omru, people who are empty of brains, say the following. So, of course, no one here should say the following, right? People who are empty of brains say the following: ki aklolos rabos me'abrochot. If you go through Parshas B'chukosai, the curses exceed the blessings. I mean, it is literally true, right? In other words, the Sedra starts off Perek Chavav Pasuk Gimel, and the Brachos end at Pasuk Yud Gimel, so that's 11 Psukim. And then the Klolos start in Yud Dalid and occupy us all the way to Mem Dalid, right? If you want to give a conservative estimate, so that's 40, what's that? That's 41 psukim, right? So, 11 psukim of bracha, 41 psukim of klala, you know, so the reke moach, those people who are empty of brains, says the Ibn Ezra, say, wait a minute, what's going on over here? You know, it's not equal. There are many more curses than there are blessings. It's not fair. You know, if we do the Torah, we get, you know, a quarter of the number of blessings that we would get curses if we did the Torah. Velo Amru Emes, says the Ibn Ezra, they're not speaking the truth. These people who are empty of brains don't know what they're talking about. Raknemru Hakbrachos Klal, the brachos were described in general terms. Venemru Beklolos Pratim, however, when it comes to the klolos, there's greater detail that is given when the klolos are presented. But the fact that the klolos are given in greater detail doesn't mean that the klolos are going to be more intensive or greater than the brachos. They're spelled out in greater detail. Why? Lira ulahavchir hashomim. Because, you know, if you want to frighten people into doing the right thing, so you got to go into all the gory details. Okay, so the Torah goes into the gory details. However, says the Ibn Ezra, don't think for a minute that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is threatening greater threats than he's promises. If anything, one could argue that the promises made by the Torah are actually greater than the curses which are threatened by the Torah. Okay, they're not spelled out in the same degree of detail, but, you know, the presence or absence of detail shouldn't be misunderstood as describing the intensity or lack thereof of these brachos and klolos. So I'm istakel heitev. If you read the parsha carefully, yisbarer lo devarai, you'll see that I'm right, says the Ibn Ezra. You'll see, you know, that the brachos are equal, if not greater, to the klolos that are being described over here. They're just, you know, not described in the same amount of detail. We're given an executive summary of the brachos, but don't think that the brachos are therefore inferior.
Going to halacha, like a basis, so therefore he lays lays everything out very clearly.
Interesting.
Because he has an obligation to tell us exactly what's going to happen.
Right, you're saying, interesting, you're saying, you know, we find in halacha that if someone's going to be put to death, you know, for violating a certain isser, he has to be warned, and he even has to be warned what kind of death he's going to receive, you know, as a result of violating this punishment. So maybe the degree of detail when it comes to the punishments is supposed to be something akin to that. It's a very interesting idea. Yeah. I don't know that that's what the Ibn Ezra is saying, but it's an interesting idea. Yeah, it's a very, very interesting idea. Yeah.
That could be a little bit dangerous, because let's say someone deviates away, gets a hold of them, and they don't get this punishment.
Right.
Maybe they didn't have enough kavana to do their leira.
Maybe. It could be. But I think this is an interesting and an important to Ibn Ezra, just, again, nothing to do directly with what we're going to discuss tonight, but just it is a striking question. I guess, you know, maybe not only people whose heads are empty of brains, but here and there, even people have a few brains, a few gray cells left in their head, you know, may ask this question as well. You know, here the Torah comes and it gives us, you know, a couple of psukim about, you know, the brachas you're going to get. Oh, but if you misbehave, you know, listen to the klalos that you're going to get as a result. And it doesn't really sound, you know... He's putting his finger on something. It doesn't really sound equitable. So that's what the Ibn Ezra is reassuring us. You know, quantity and quality are the same thing. The quantity of psukim should not be misunderstood to represent the quality of either the blessings or the curses, you know, that are going to happen, you know, if we do or, Rachmanu Litzlan, don't perform, you know, the will of Hashem. I think, again, it's just an important Ibn Ezra to bring to your attention. So in the section of brachos, in Pasuk Vav, we read, "V'nosati shalom ba'aretz." If the Jewish people do the right thing, says Hashem, I will grant peace in the land. Which land? So the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says, "V'eten shlama ba'arod Yisrael." I will grant peace in the land of Israel, because of course the assumption is, if we're doing the will of Hashem, we're all living in Eretz Yisrael. That's the land that we're speaking of. Ushechavtem ve'ein machrid, you'll lie down, and no one will cause you to be afraid. So here too, both Targumim give an interesting translation, which you can very easily miss over here. When it says ushechavtem, the simple translation of ushechavtem, as I just said, is you'll lie down. Ushechavtem ve'ein machrid, you'll lie down. In other words, we would say in English, you'll go to sleep at night, and you won't be afraid, right? People tend to be the most afraid at night. That's when the burglars are about. That's when, the mischief makers are about. You'll be able to lie down at night, and you won't be afraid. That's not the way the Targumim translate the phrase, and it's interesting. Targum Unculus writes, V'sishrun, you will dwell in Eretz Yisrael, v'les demonid, and no one will prevent you from, no one will cause you to wander. You know, when you're settled in Eretz Yisrael, which is very interesting. So ushechavtem ve'machrid, I think the simple seems like it's talking about an individual. Individuals, you know, there'll be a low crime rate or a non-existent crime rate in Eretz Yisrael. You'll be able to lie down at night. The door's going to be open. You won't have to lock the door. You know, you won't have to worry somebody's going to come in the middle of the night and walk off with all your silverware and, you know, whatnot. That seems to be the simple pshat in the pasuk. But the Targum Unculus takes what seems to be a promise for individuals, and he seems to transform it into a promise for the nation as a whole. Ushechavtem v'sishrun, you as a nation will dwell in Eretz Yisrael, v'les demonid, and no one is going to cause you to wander. In other words, you're not going to be subjected to a galus, the way that we know, unfortunately, Klal Yisrael have already been subjected to. What causes the Targum Unculus to give that less than literal translation? So, l'chora, the answer is, the promise of the Torah, the way it seems to appear on a literal level, is not really good enough. I mean, it's nice, you know, it's wonderful that there will be a low crime rate and we can lie in bed at night and not worry about somebody, you know, walking off with our silver.
But what's much greater in the big picture is that the fate of Klal Yisrael is going to be protected. V'nosati shalom ba'aretz, you'll be in Eretz Yisrael, and you'll live there, and you'll dwell there, and nobody's trying to push you out. Nobody's chanting, you know, from the river to the sea, right? You're going to be in your homes, and, you know, nobody's going to give you a problem. Nobody's going to try to chase you out, and the UN's not going to give you a problem. You know, we're going to be rooted, you know, and that's a much greater promise, ultimately, because it's a promise of the fate of Klal Yisrael, not just about individuals. And the Targum Onkelos apparently understands, so Shechavtem Ve'ein Macharid, you know, is meant in somewhat metaphoric terms. Shechavtem doesn't mean you as an individual lie down in your bed. It means you, the nation, will lie down in your homeland. You'll be safe in your homeland. Ve'ein Macharid. Charada means to tremble. No one's going to cause you to tremble, not in the sense of being afraid, but no one's going to cause you to have to move. Trembling means a person moves involuntarily. No one's going to cause you to move. No one's going to send you into galus. You know, you're going to be safe and sound in Eretz Yisrael.
Is the possibility that was driving the heart of Moklos is the fact that the Torah goes out of its way to change the word? The word should be the shock that will dwell in the mind of Israel, rather than the shock.
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, the truth is, if anything, Vishavtem has the Vishavtem would fit the Targum Onkelos a little bit better.
No, I'm saying is that the fact that the Torah goes out of its way to change. I mean, I think under normal circumstances, the Kodesh Baruch Hu would say you're going to dwell in the land of Israel rather than you're going to lay down in the land of Israel. So the Targum Onkelos says, wait a minute. That use of the language is a little bit off.
Right, but again, I the simple pshat, if I didn't have the Targum, I would think, Ushachav to me, go down to sleep at night. In other words, you know, again, people get nervous when they go to sleep at night. If you're in a bad neighborhood, you know, you have to lock the doors, you know, first lock, second lock, third lock. No, you'll be able to lie down at night and, you know, nobody's going to make you afraid. But it's interesting. He doesn't interpret it that way. It's the actual destiny of Klal Yisrael, and not simply about, you know, as important as it is for individuals to be safe, he's not simply focused on the safety of individuals.
Could the Rav compare and contrast the previous pasuk as if there's smichas apsukim, yishavtem lo betach baratzachem? So there's a connection, are you going up a higher level?
Right. So it's what's yishavtem lo betach as opposed to ushechavtem ve'in macharid? I guess, it's a good question. I would assume that Vishavtem Lovetach Ba'artzachem is a lower level, right? It could be as follows. So Ibn Ezra makes the following comment. Again, I'm just throwing this out there. Maybe it's right, maybe it's not. I'm not sure. But in Pasuk Hey, it talks about how the Jewish people are going to experience prosperity in Eretz Yisrael. V'achaltem lachmechem losova, right? You'll eat your bread and be satisfied. V'shavtem lovetach ba'artzachem, and you'll dwell in your land, lovetach, in security. So what's the relationship between those two promises? You'll have prosperity, and you'll have security. Now, prosperity and security are both important, but they're not the same thing. Okay. Ibn Ezra writes like this. V'tam v'shavtem lovetach, ki b'mei harav yiglu b'nei adam imekomam. The connection between the two things is as follows. When you'll have prosperity, that will ensure that people don't have to wander. Because when you don't have prosperity, when you're lacking for food, people wander to other places to look for food. Right?
All the avos did that.
Right, the avos, right. I was thinking the Okies, but, you know, people don't have food. They wander. They go all over the place. So, V'achaltem lachmechem losova, says the Ibn Ezra, you'll eat your bread and you'll be satisfied. And therefore, V'shavtem lovetach be'artzichem, you will be situated in your land securely. You won't have to wander from Haifa to Beersheba looking for food, or vice versa. So if we accept that pshat of the Ibn Ezra, that would actually explain the flow and the gradual increasing bracha in the psukim. V'shavtem levetach ba'artzecha means, within Eretz Yisrael, I'm not going to have to go wandering around to look for food. Comes the next pasuk, u'shechayim machrid, and says, even beyond that, not only will you, the individual, not have to wander looking for food, but I'm going to protect Klal Yisrael as a whole, that as a whole, we're not going to be subject to being exiled from a land. You know, in other words, it's a different perspective, you know, the individual security in his Dalet Amos versus the nation's security as a whole in Eretz Yisrael. And, you know, maybe that's how to understand the Psukim. Then we're told, Vishpati Chayo Ra'a Min Ha'aretz, I will eliminate evil beasts from the land. Cherev Lo Savor Be'artzichem, and the sword will not pass through your land. Now, on this last phrase, Vecherev Lo Savor Be'artzichem, it's a very famous Gemara in Tainus. Famous means that you've heard of it, so by the time we get through saying it over in the next couple of minutes, it will definitely be famous. Very famous Gemara in Tainus, which is referenced by Rashi over here, and is also to some extent in the Kinnus that we say on Tisha B'Av, Kinnah Yud Aleph, that talks about the death of Yoshio HaMelech. Rashi writes over here the following. B'cherev l'savor b'artzichem, the sword will not pass through your land. Ein sarich lomar shelo yavo l'melchama. The Pasuk is not simply saying over here that armies are not going to attack Eretz Yisrael, that the sword of enemies will not enter Eretz Yisrael to fight against the Jews. No, that goes without saying. El afil lavor derech artzichem in medina lemedina. The promise is that an army of a foreign country will not even pass through your country on the way to get to somewhere else. Right. No, but okay, so 1 second. We'll get to the Gemara in just a minute. Right? So in other words, let's say, for instance, you have the Egyptians want to go and fight against some other army in Syria or Turkey or whatnot, and the best way to do that is to pass through Eretz Yisrael. So comes the Pasuk and says, V'cherev lo savor be'artzichem afil shalom. That's the way the Gemara in Tainus puts it. You know, they have no difficulties with the general fight against the Jewish people. They just want to pass through Eretz Yisrael on their way to Syria or Turkey or whatnot. No, the promise is that even Cherev Shal Shalom, even a non-belligerent army, is not going to pass through your country, because whenever an army is through a country, it makes life difficult for the inhabitants of that country. That's the promise of this Pasuk. So the Gemara in Tainus relates the following. During the days of Yoshio HaMelech, the king of Mitzrayim reached out to Yoshio HaMelech, and he asked, can I bring my troops through Eretz Yisrael on my way to fight against the Babylonians, who were at that point situated in the area of Syria or Turkey, in a place called Carchemish, right? The Babylonians were a growing power, and the Egyptians wanted to fight against them, to stop them. So they wanted to travel up through Eretz Yisrael to fight against them in Syria or Turkey, north of Eretz Yisrael. So Yoshio HaMelech knew this Pasuk, and although, I don't know, it's a little anachronistic to say that he knew Rashi, but he knew the Tarshish Baal Peh that Rashi is quoting over here. And Yoshio HaMelech reasoned that, no, I'm not going to let Paro go through my land. The Jewish people are osin v'tzono shel makom. We are doing the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We've eliminated Avodah Zarah from Eretz Yisrael. We are a righteous people. The promise of the Torah applies to us, and therefore a foreign power should not be able to pass through Eretz Yisrael, even not to fight against us, even to go somewhere else. So we told Paro, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to let you go through our country. So his mistake, says the Gemara, is that he didn't consult with Yirmiyahu HaNavi, because Yirmiyahu HaNavi would have told him the following. It's not that the Rashi Cholila is wrong, that is indeed what the Pasuk is promising, but the Pasuk is promising that Cherev Lo Savor Be'artzichem, Afilu Cherev Shal Shalom, applies when the Jewish people are steadfast in the devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the case of the generation of Yoshio, they weren't quite there yet. Right, as the Gemara there describes, and the Kinnah describes on Tisha B'Av, the Leitzane Adar, you know, the scoffers of the generation were still secretly worshipping Avodah Zarah. They set up the Avodah Zarahs in their houses in such a way so that when they would open the door would disguise the presence of the Avodah Zarah. So there was clandestine idol worship going on in Eretz Yisrael at that time, and that was the fatal flaw of Yoshio. He didn't take that into account. So, of course, Yoshio tells Paro, you can't go through my land. Paro says, well, I'm sorry, I'm going through your land, like it or not. They go out, they have a confrontation, and it ends up with the death of Yoshelech in this very, very tragic fashion, right? That's all based on this pasuk over here, right? If one looks at the respective Targumim, the Targum Yonason and the Targum Unkelus, it seems to me that they argue as to whether to interpret this pasuk on the simple level of pshat in accordance with this drasha that Rashi is bringing. Here's the Targum Yonason ben Uziel. Targum Yonason ben Uziel says, Shalufei charav lo yidon ba'arachom. People with unsheathed swords will not enter into your land. It's a very interesting turn of phrase. People with unsheathed swords, right? What does that mean exactly, right? So it sounds like one can suggest, you can actually suggest the opposite, but I think you can possibly suggest the following. The Targum Yonason ben Uziel is reflecting this drasha of Chazal, Afilu Cherev Shel Shalom, that no army will pass through your land. Any army with swords drawn, in other words, they're not necessarily fighting against the people in this land, but they have their swords, they have their weapons, they're on the way to war. Any such army is not going to pass through your land. I realize you can make the opposite interpretation as well, which is very, very interesting language that he uses. You know, those with unsheathed swords. You could argue why the swords unsheathed, because they're going to war right now, not just they're on their way to war to some other country. But I think perhaps one can suggest that. The Targum Onkelos has the following translation. Udekotlin becharba. Those who kill with the sword, lo yidon ba'arachon, will not enter into your land. Again, a very interesting language. It's not the literal language of the pasuk at all. Those who kill with the sword. Perhaps one can suggest that the Targum Onkelos is saying that the promise means anyone who's planning on killing right now with the sword will not be allowed entry into your land. But if they're passing through on the way to somewhere else, maybe they will be allowed entry into the land. Maybe that's not included in the bracha. The interesting thing is, I mean, these lashonos are so vague. I think you could actually argue the opposite. You know, the Targum Yonason ben Uziel, you know, those who have the short swords drawn, that's talking about someone who's going to war right now in your land. Those who are killing with the sword maybe means those who plan on going to war at some point, even if they're not doing it immediately, but they're on their way to somewhere else. But it seems like both of these Lashonos are grappling with the Drasha of Chazal. Again, it's just not clear to me, at least, you know, where they fall out in terms of whether they're incorporating that drasha into the simple pshat or not. But definitely they seem to be addressing something, you know, when they're adding these words into the pasuk in a somewhat non-literal interpretation.
It's possible that there's a negative thing with the swords are drawn, teaching children about fighting and people have the mentality, they'll be drawn towards fighting. They see swords outward.
Uh-huh.
It's going, they're riding, the swords are sheen.
Uh-huh.
But to see actually the sword means that you're incorporating the value of the fight into your psyche.
Okay, be that as it may, whatever that interpretation is, but basically then the pasuk is saying, it's not simply that the Torah is promising that you won't be invaded, it means you won't even have a passing army, you know, come through your land. You know, even those who are coming through with drawn swords, even if they have no intent of actually carrying out anything during the period of time that they're here. Again, it seems like the Targumim are doing something in terms of the drasha of Chazal. It's not clear whether they're just restating it or whether they're trying to say something a little bit different in terms of their interpretation. Okay, we'll pick up here. Bez Hashem, Kasha Omer, Ratzah, Kodesh Baruch, Lezach.